What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Roberti, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And we have a really awesome episode in store for you. Our guest, he actually has a perfect SAT score. And the reason that's important for a business-focused podcast is because he's also the founder of Prep Expert, which is the only test prep company created by a student who went from an average SAT score to the perfect SAT score he was able to get. And in this program, he offers the highest average score improvement, the best instructors, and double the course hours at half the price. Many of the students have received admission into Ivy League schools, won millions of dollars in college scholarships, and some have even gotten their own perfect SAT scores. Recently, he closed a deal with billionaire Mark Cuban on ABC's Shark Tank for an investment in Prep Expert. Our guest for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Sean Patel. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Sean, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And we are all about having this big goal that you seek and finally making it happen. And to get a perfect score on an SAT is insanely impressive. I remember a few years ago when I took my SAT, it was not a perfect score, but it wasn't bad, in my humble opinion.
Sure.
It's really awesome you were able to do that and really turn that into a business and have the impact that you've been able to have also. So can you share with us your journey to getting your perfect score and how that turned into Prep Expert later on?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's such an interesting question that you ask, actually, because, you know, my plan was never to become this test prep entrepreneur. You know, what I did in high school was, as you said, I was able to study for hundreds of hours and raise my average SAT score to a perfect SAT score. And as you said, that's very rare. 0.02% of all students are able to achieve that feat. And what that did for me is it totally changed my life. I got into great universities. I got $250,000 in college scholarships. I even got to meet the President of the United States. And so it was crazy that I was able to change my entire life. My whole life changed because of this one test, this one score. And so, you know, when I was in college, I was like, I want to help other students change their lives by changing their scores the way that I did. And my original idea or original concept was not a business at all. All I wanted to do is I wanted to write a SAT preparation book. You know, I thought I could be the first perfect SAT score student to write a book about my journey, about the strategies I used and help other students. The problem was, you know, back in 2010 when I had this idea, you know, self-publishing wasn't as big, and so I really thought I needed a major publisher. And so I pitched my book proposal out to 100 literary agents and publishers. Every single one rejected me. They said, you know, I don't have a platform. They said that the SAT prep market is too competitive. They said, you know, one even said I wasn't a good writer and they didn't find my persona engaging. That was pretty hurtful. So, you know, I got rejected literally 100 times. And, you know, when life gives you plan A, which is continue to hope for a book deal, or plan B, which was I should just give up on this book deal. That's when you have to sometimes, if you want to get to becoming a breakthrough success, is make plan C. And so that's what I did, is I made plan C, which was I was like, well, I have hundreds of pages of curriculum I've written. Why don't I just package that into a course that I'll teach and, you know, forget the book deal. It doesn't look like I'm going to get it. And so it was really hard to get students to enroll in my first class. I ended up getting 18 kids in it. But I taught that class over 6 weeks, and the average SAT score improvement in my first class that I ever taught was 376 points over 6 weeks, which was equivalent to taking students from the 50th percentile, like just average, to the 90th percentile. So I was like, I had parents knocking down the doors for more Prep Expert classes after that. And so, you know, that's when I knew I was on to a business. And what was so funny about the whole story, Mark, is McGraw-Hill, the world's largest education publisher, You know, they had originally rejected my book deal, book proposal. They were one of the 100 people. And then after they saw what I was doing with my prep expert courses, they came back, they gave me a book deal. The book went number one on Amazon for SAT prep. It sold tens of thousands of copies. And so it's just goes to show all the entrepreneurs out there, you know, your original idea can morph into something even greater when you create a platform and make your own success.
Sean, I love that entrepreneurial spirit. And also, like, you know, if you sometimes the way to get what you want is to be flexible in your approach. I mean, Sean, in the end, he gets his book deal, he gets tens of thousands of sales, but not at all the way he thought it was going to happen. So sometimes we just have to change our approach. One of the things that I was doing some looking around before our interview, and it seems like you weren't in the environment that really optimized you to get the SAT score. Like, it's not like, I mean, some people, like, they literally spend like thousands or tens of thousands of dollars on their kids to give them that SAT score. So can you talk about how you got that score, even though you were in an environment where, you know, there's a lot of dropout and not, you wouldn't expect a 2400.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mark, you know, I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. Not a lot of people grow up there. And yeah, I was born and raised. And, you know, it's not the best school district, as you can imagine, because a lot of people end up just dropping out, working in casinos, and don't go to college, et cetera. So, you know, we have one of the worst school districts in the nation. We're down there with Mississippi. You know, we have a 40% dropout rate. I went to these urban public schools that were not great. But luckily, you know, my parents placed a high value on education. And so it was really from my parents' encouragement rather than the school's encouragement that I was able to foster that self-motivation to do well in school very early on. And that really came from my parents. What was also really interesting about my upbringing was I grew up in a motel. So my dad actually owned a budget motel. It was a small motel in not the best part of Vegas, 23 rooms, and we would live in the front office there. And, you know, I think what was interesting about that is my upbringing, I was always around business and entrepreneurship. I was renting rooms. I was, you know, fixing things for tenants, et cetera, ever since I was a kid. And so I think that's where I got my entrepreneurial spirit very early on. And, you know, I think that kids that are exposed to entrepreneurship early, or are they like I used to sell Pokemon cards in elementary school, like that do like little side hustles and things like that, are poised to be better entrepreneurs later as adults, because you learn about self-control, you learn about delayed gratification, responsibility, and all these things that are so important to becoming a successful entrepreneur later in life.
Yeah, I mean, really great insights. I mean, for parents listening, like, school has a role, but you have the much bigger role. And I think if you introduce your kids to entrepreneurship, I mean, I was introduced to entrepreneurship at a very early age. I'm happy that you had the Pokemon card reference in there, because that's more of my generation. So that'll be more mainstream later on, but as if it's not mainstream already, but, you know, stuff like that. Side note, but yeah, if you're a parent listening to this, school only does so much. You do the extra mile and introduce your kid to entrepreneurship. That's something that I recommend anyone do. Now, one thing interesting about Sean is that I mentioned this a little earlier, but he struck a deal with Mark Cuban on Shark Tank. And from what I know about Shark Tank, it's like they show it on TV, they make it look like it takes 7 minutes, but it's hours and hours of time that gets edited out. So I wonder if you could talk about your experience there and how, what made Cuban say yes?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're so right. So I was in the tank for almost 2 hours. Of course, they edited it down to the 10 minutes for television that looks most dramatic, most entertaining, that's fun to watch. They take out all of the real business, the financial conversations that we're having, et cetera, because that's not good for TV. But yeah, Shark Tank was incredible. You know, it's interesting because I was basically on the show in 2016 when it was at the height of its popularity. And, you know, at that time, 50,000 entrepreneurs a year were applying to be on the show, and about 150 to 180 end up airing on television. And so what's funny is it's almost as hard to get on Shark Tank as it is to get a perfect SAT score. It's about 0.02%. And so I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that's done both. But so I'm very lucky in that respect. It was pretty cool being on the show. I prepared for hundreds of hours for my pitch. But what's funny is when you walk in the tank, everything that you prepared for goes out the window. You know, you're totally in the zone. You're locked in. And I felt like after those 2 hours went by so quick, I like had blacked out. I didn't even really know what happened. But at the end of it, I think, you know, it was funny in the first person that kind of rolls his eyes as soon as I walk in the tank is Mark Cuban. And so he's kind of like, what's this perfect SAT stuff? And so I think he wasn't really into it. But then by the end of the pitch, you know, I really talked about my work ethic and how I got that from my dad about working 80 hours a week and hustling as an entrepreneur. And I think he eventually started talking about his dad and how hard his dad worked and how hard he works because of that. And so I think we connected on some level with our upbringings, and just, you know, like, I just believe that not only do you need to work, you know, some people say work harder or work smarter, not harder. I say work smarter and harder, like work more efficiently and work more than other people, and you'll be poised for success. And I really try to bring that out in my pitch. I was able to close the deal with Mark Cuban. It's been incredible. We actually, speaking of fostering entrepreneurship in kids, like, we wrote a book together called Kids Startup, which is all about teaching your kids about, you know, everyone, when you're growing up, kids are like, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be an engineer, but no one says I want to be an entrepreneur because they're not taught that that's a career. And that's something we really wanted to teach kids through the book, was, you know, kids' careers can be entrepreneur.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely see that. No one really says when I grow up, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Like, it's just something that's not said. Mm-hmm. And one interesting thing, I mean, whether you, you're selling products, you want someone to buy your course, you want someone to be a coaching client, or you want money from Mark Cuban. I mean, it's value that you provide. It's like demonstrating, like, you listen to Sean, you know what he's talking about. But that next level is him talking about his father and the work ethic he got, and being able to connect to Cuban the way Sean was telling us. So if you, like, let little tidbits out like that to your audience, you're going to connect to them on a deeper level. And I wasn't in that tank with you for 2 hours, but I'm sure, I mean, talking about that work ethic and then hearing that Cuban kind of reciprocated doing stuff like that really helps. It's not the only thing. It's more of a compliment to Sean's existing business, because, I mean, again, to get like a perfect SAT score, be helping, like, who's better to help people with an SAT than someone who's gotten the perfect score? So
yeah,
really awesome insights there that you covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, it's a lot of it is, you know, what I tell people, it's about the art of storytelling and communication is something you can't do. Like, the number one skill I learned in school was, like, how to write well and how to communicate well. Because whether I'm pitching a business, writing a book, you know, writing marketing copy, et cetera, it's all about communication. It's all about telling your story. And basically what you said, demonstrating your value and really communicating that to people. Because if you're not able to do that, I mean, you've lost the race before you even started.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just a matter of then just continuing to put in the work, continuing to build the relationships and sharing those parts of yourself that, you know, like, you could connect to people on a deeper level. I'm wondering, I feel like this would be an interesting question to ask, because you have the success of, like, both, like, a student, like, you know, perfect score. I know I keep saying that, but you also have the success of an entrepreneur, and you don't always see that come together, because the person, not everyone, but some people with, like, a 4.0 GPA feel like they have to be perfect. And entrepreneurship is the utter definition of imperfection. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the habits you developed that allow you to succeed at such a high scale, both as a student and as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. You know, I think this is such an interesting topic because, yeah, you're so right. Everyone talks about the Bill Gates or the Zuckerbergs who like dropped out of school and, you know, they weren't good for school and you know, then they became billionaires on entrepreneurs. And, you know, I think that a lot of people, you don't have to be a good student to be a great entrepreneur, but I think there are certain traits you can learn as a good student and apply to entrepreneurship. The number one secret that I think that makes you both a successful student and a successful entrepreneur is self-control. There's a famous Stanford marshmallow experiment research study they did back in the 1970s where they basically put these five-year-old kids, they did it on hundreds of kids, in a room with one marshmallow. And they said to the five-year-old kid, hey, you can either eat this marshmallow now, or you, if you wait 15 minutes, we'll give you two marshmallows. And what they were basically doing is testing at this young age, do these kids have enough self-control not to eat the marshmallow immediately? And what they found was about 33% or one-third of the kids had enough self-control to delay gratification, to not eat that marshmallow, and they were awarded the second marshmallow. And then what was super interesting about this study is they followed those kids like 20, 30 years later, and they found that the kids that had self-control and didn't eat the marshmallow immediately, they were more successful on every life measure. So they got higher SAT and ACT scores. They were more popular. They made higher salaries. They were more healthy. They had lower BMIs, no drug problems, all these things. And so what I think is so important, what school and studying can teach you is, you know, you've got to put away the Instagram, the Facebook, the Snapchat, all of that stuff and study for school so you can be a successful student. But it's the same thing for an entrepreneur, if you think about it, right? You've got to put away all the distractions and work on your business and do whatever you need to do, whether it's podcasting, marketing, sales, customer service, building your business, all of that. You have to, you know, you may not be able to go to every party or every night out with your friends, et cetera, because you're an entrepreneur. And so I think that is the skill that really translates from being a successful student to being a successful entrepreneur. And I think that's something that I've been able to foster in my life is a lot of self-control to delay a lot of the fun things so that I can have success as a student or have success as an entrepreneur.
I really love that marshmallow experiment you mentioned. I mean, in my case, I invest the money that I make. I don't really spend on any luxury. The only time like I'll spend money is on running. Like if I want to run a marathon or a half marathon, that's the only time I really spend money. So it's good to think that way with money. It's good to think that way with food. It's good. Like if you think long-term with all this stuff, it becomes easier for you to achieve the success because short-term pleasure or long-term gain, you can't have both. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're sacrificing one with every activity that you do. It's better. Like long-term thinking is just better because you make more of the right decisions. One thing that really struck a chord with me is you were talking about focus and studying. And when it comes to a test, it's like, okay, test in, we'll just throw the subject out there, test in physics, chapter 4. Mm-hmm. And I think what you see in a lot of people outside of school, like in school, you study chapter 4 because that's what the questions are going to be on. But I feel like in business, too many of us are like, let's read a little bit of chapter 1. Let's read a little bit of chapter 17. Let's read a little bit of chapter 10 and then a little bit of chapter 4. But the test is only on chapter 4. Mm-hmm. So I think in that respect, I feel like there are people who they're pursuing a lot of different things, but not the things that are leading to the most income, the most traffic, the most impact. So I just wanted to strike on that because I feel like it's I didn't want to lose that idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, what I tell people is when they ask me, you know, what should I start a business in? And I'm like, why are you asking me? You know, because the answer is you should start a business in what you know really well, like what you've focused on really well. Like that's what you're going to have a lead in, you know, because, you know, Warren Buffett says he's a successful investor because he invests within the realms of what he knows. And I think it's the same thing with entrepreneurship. You're going to become a successful entrepreneur if you start a business within the realms of what you know, you know? Like everyone hears like buzzwords that are like cryptocurrency or artificial intelligence or whatever. And they're like, I want to start a business in this. But I'm like, have you put in all that time, effort, and energy to learn everything you can about that topic? Because if you haven't, then you're not the right person to start a business yet. If first you should learn everything you can about it, you know, everyone just wants to try to get rich quick by like going into a hot industry. And that's not the answer. The answer is to learn everything you can first and then start the right business from what you learn. It's really goes back to like Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule from Outliers, his book. You know, it's like, did you put in the 10,000 hours to become an expert in your industry or topic? And if so, then that's probably the right business or right thing you should focus on to make you money or start your business in, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I feel like the people who they struggle are the people who listen to this interview and they say, wow, Sean got money from Mark Cuban. I need to start an SAT company.
Yeah.
Those are the people who struggle, because you have to pick the thing that is going to work for you. You can't ride on something because it's hot, like cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. I know from my YouTube research that cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, those are terms that, you know, they're good terms to do videos on, but I'm not going to do on those topics. That's why I focus more on content marketing, a little bit of investing, because I'm a finance major, so I might as well use that.
Because you do what you know, exactly,
yeah,
right?
No, exactly.
Yeah,
just do what you know. Don't feel like you got to do some kind of a trend just because if it's related to what you know, then do it, but don't do it unless you know it and you feel comfortable with it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why I've been able to succeed with the SAT prep business, because I knew the SAT inside and out. Like I knew every single thing like anyone could possibly know about it. And so that's why I started my businesses. That's what I know. And so my biggest, you know, it was funny. Tim Ferriss, the author of 4-Hour Workweek, came to my college when I was back in college. And he, you know, I went to an event and it was like, I was like, oh, Tim Ferriss is going to be there. I'm going to learn how to make money. And, you know, because I'm just a college kid, and someone asks him like, oh, well, you know, what should we start a business in? Because, you know, obviously college kids are looking to make money, et cetera. And he says, you know, start a business in something you know or you're good at. And I remember in college, I was so dissatisfied with that answer, because he was like, you know, I was good. I really knew bodybuilding. So I started a sports nutrition company and that did well. But I was like, dude, he should have just told us which industry to start a business in, you know? And it was like, but I realized later on in life, now I'm like, okay, he actually did give us the secret to success, which is to do what you know and start a business in something you're really good at.
The greatest secret hidden in plain sight. I love that insight from Tim Ferriss and all the insights throughout time together. If you guys want a perfect score on the SAT or know someone who wants a perfect score on the SAT, we can't make that promise, but Prep Expert is probably your closest bet. So we'll include that in the show notes. In addition, though, where are some of the other places we can find you and just continue following your work?
Absolutely. Obviously, the main place for parents with students who are looking to prep for SAT and ACT, check out prepexpert.com. But for all the entrepreneurs out there listening to this podcast, definitely check out my book, Self-Made Success, on Amazon. It's 48 Secret Strategies to Live Happier, Healthier, and Wealthier. And I share so many more insights on entrepreneurship, on marketing, on wealth, and success in general. Check that book out, Self-Made Success, by Sean Fattell on Amazon.
Well, Sean, we'll include that in the show notes and more. For also people, if you want to schedule a free call with me, see how we could help you launch, grow, monetize your podcast or just your content in general, that link is markgaberti.com/strategy for anyone who's interested. But once again, Sean, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's been so fun chatting.
Sean, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, to have a perfect SAT score, to really thrive a business, to get the Shark Tank deal, and to just keep on growing, really awesome stuff. So thank you for coming on the show. For everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Next week, we're going to have a whole conversation about self-care, because it's something that I feel like a lot of us don't really think about or do enough. So that's going to be what we focus on the next episode. And in the meantime, I'd greatly appreciate if you could leave a quick review for Breakthrough Success, as it would make a really big difference for the show. So signing off, what I want you guys to do, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.